G'day, this is Big Brady Marshall.
This is Brian Alvarez.
This is Dean Brady of the Millennials.
This is the Jurassic Punk Sid Parker.
How many of you guys have heard the term kayfabe?
Blue Doggers. This is Jay Hunter from OSW Review.
This is Matt Grim Basso.
This is the loosest kid in Australian wrestling, Adam Brooks.
This is Scrap Brand Adam Pearce, and you are locked in
to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Welcome to a very fluey, I guess, Wrestle Radio Australia. I'm your host, Todd Eastman. I hope you all went out and enjoyed local pro wrestling this past weekend. I actually did something different last weekend. Mitch McCarthy and I jumped in the car from Ipswich. Mitch and I drove up to the Sunshine Coast and watched UPW. It's an entertaining show. Diamond and EC Diamond and Jesse Love put on a really great title match. Really, two guys that are on the rise in Australian wrestling, not just in Queensland wrestling, in Australian wrestling. Really good to watch, and really a loud crowd, a great crowd up there for UPW, so go and check them out if you're in the Sunshine Coast area. My guest for this week is, before I do that, I just want to, because this is only just as I'm recording this podcast or this opening, this is only just really hit. Sub-Zero Pro, which was formerly Iron Fist Pro, which was mired in controversy. They've done it again. They the big international that they had advertised wasn't going to make the show, so they were going to cancel the show. Luckily, because it was being run at the RCW Academy, Riot City Wrestling has taken over that show and will be still running that show out of the RCW Academy. So, and for, I think, discounted prices for $15 for tickets for that. So go and support Riot City Wrestling for jumping in and doing the right thing by fans of wrestling, something that the promoter of Sub-Zero Pro, or formerly of Iron Fist Pro, has never done. He is an absolute pillock. And I'm trying to be really, not swear, and trying to be just calm about this, because this sort of stuff pisses me off, because it makes Australian wrestling look shit when people like that are allowed to run shows, or are allowed to at least try and run shows, when you've got no seemingly idea how you can promote. You know, I know you know how to make posters, and you know how to do press releases, and you know how to film promos and put the promos up. It's the actual shows you're having trouble with. So maybe running shows just isn't your thing. Maybe that's just, not everyone can do it. And maybe you need to find that. Maybe you need to realize that you need to be a fan and a supporter, because the other part of that business, or this business, just isn't for you. And it's not a bad thing. It's probably a better thing that you realize it, because all you're doing right now is, if you love Australian wrestling like you must do if you want to put on shows, all you're doing right now by doing what you're doing repeatedly is hurting professional wrestling in Australia. So I say this as a fan of wrestling in Australia: don't promote any more shows. And in fact, if you do promote shows, I know I for one will not be mentioning it at all in any way, shape, or form on this podcast. I won't even mention the promoter's name, because I don't even think he needs the notoriety of being that bad. Just like I put him in the same category as I put a certain former Queensland promoter that I will not mention. A couple of Queensland promoters who I will not mention. I put him in that same category now. There is a word for you guys, and I'm just not going to put it on this show. Starts with shit and ends with a word that rhymes with bunt. And that's what you are, mate. Seriously. I'm sick of being nice about this, because I'd love to go, oh, nah, the guy was just going to... You can't keep doing this again and again and again and get the same result and think, oh, it'll be better the next time, because it won't, because you didn't do anything differently. In fact, you probably did things worse this time, because the show didn't even come off for you. RCW had to jump in and save your ass. So that's my, I guess that's my views from the East this week already. Just throwing that in there off the open. My guest for this week, though, is someone who has nothing to do with that, thank God. He is a great guy. It was a great chat. The first time I'd even talked to him, or I had ever talked to him, was on this podcast tonight. And just a great lad from Ireland, Don Marnell. Just started commentary for PWA on their Green Label shows. If you're a subscriber to OVO, and if you're not, do subscribe, because great product on there. Now they've added the Nui Pro shows. It's great to watch PWA and Nui Pro live when they have their shows, or even you can watch the back catalogue if you're a subscriber to OVO. So all of that stuff is good. Talked all about his time in Ireland with OTT, and a whole varied amount of stuff we talked about on this podcast. A really interesting chat. Really nice guy, and I cannot wait to catch up with him for a Guinness down the line. With that, I sound a bit, sorry, I sound a bit flu. That's because I am battling a cough and a cold, and I've been feeling like shit. That's why there was not a show last week, to be perfectly honest with you, because the first half of the week I didn't have a voice. So, hard to do a podcast when you don't have a voice. What we'll do is we're going to go to a quick where the action is, because I really don't know if I have the voice to be able to carry off doing the whole where the action is. And then we'll hit our interview with Don Marnell right here on Wrestle Radio Australia. Yeah, it's time for Where the Action Is. Like I said, a quick Where the Action Is this week. On Friday night, of course, there is that RCW show. It is called The Death of Sub-Zero Fatality. It is at the RCW Academy. Tickets for that one, get them at the door, and they are $15. Go and support the guys who jumped in at the last minute to do a great service for the Australian wrestling people in Adelaide. So go and check them out on Friday night. On Saturday night, we have Melbourne have PCW Ignition shows at their Southeastern Entertainment Centre. Go and check them out. Adelaide Championship Wrestling is at the Marion Cultural Centre. Good to see the Marion Cultural Centre running shows back again. I know they soured a bit to professional wrestling after a certain New South Wales promoter had visited their building, but it's good to see Adelaide Championship Wrestling getting back into it. Wrestle Rampage of Revolution at the Lion Arts Factory. Go and check them out in Adelaide. Excuse me, like I said, my voice is going. Schwa have Mid-Year Mayhem in Perth at the Armadale Arena. Go and check them out. Hit up all of these guys' Facebook pages for their details for ticketing. I'd love to do it, but unfortunately, like I said, my voice isn't the best at the moment. And finally, I will be at AWA, Australian Wrestling Alliance, The Price is Wrong, Bitch, at the Zoo. It is a Lethal Lottery show. And also, Mick Moretti is taking on Tim Cade and Jack Payne from Superlex Pro. And my boy Showtime Jake Nova is defending the AWA title against Humanity. It will be a great show. And if you're in Queensland and you're a fan of the WCW Lethal Lottery shows back in the day, that is exactly what this show is all about, Lethal Lottery. Tag teams drawn at random, and the winners of those tag team matches go into a battle royal at the end of the night. The winner of that is the first entrant in the Openweight title tournament at Homecoming in August. And that is where the action is this weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of
I am joined by a newcomer to the Australian industry, but not in any way a newcomer to professional wrestling. He is from Ireland. He did a lot of colour commentary on the OTT. If you haven't heard of them, you probably should have if you like in indie wrestling, especially the UK scene and the Ireland scene and all of that group. OTT are one of the biggest, I'd say the biggest fed in Ireland at least. Don Marnell, how are you today, mate?
Mate, I'm doing very well. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
I'm good. A lot of technical issues, but we battled through them, mate.
We absolutely did, yeah. We did a full 4 hours. a tight 4 hours, I think, I'd like to say.
Yeah, it was.
None of it was recorded.
No.
Which is probably good in the long run. So, let's comb out some of that and reproduce, my man.
Yeah, well, we won't bury too many people this time, so we'll try.
Yeah, not this time, mate. I definitely won't be telling that story about me and Scott Steiner in the Uber anyway.
No, not again, anyway.
Not again, mate.
Not again. Now, for people that aren't well aware of you, did you actually wrestle before, or have you always been in the color commentary sort of area?
No, I'm not. I was never a trainee wrestler, but I kind of have a back route into the industry. So I, like everybody, I started off as a fan, and I think anybody in the industry who says they didn't start off as a fan is lying to themselves or to the people that are listening. But yeah, I started off as a huge wrestling fan. Studied media in college, so did a lot of things around radio, video editing, production, and always kind of had it in my mind that I potentially love to go down that route and get into the kind of the behind the scenes area of wrestling work. But I then kind of fell into doing on-air radio stuff, sports broadcasting back home. I was running the stand-up comedy club for a while and just getting a lot of experience with broadcasting and performing in front of crowds. And it just kind of became a perfect storm at one point that I was doing a wrestling podcast for a website back home in Ireland. Just at the time that OTT was starting to do their on-demand service. And I made a very good friend that I used to go and have a few beers with watching the shows, a guy called Angus McAnally, who is an absolute legend in every sense possible. But he is your perfect play-by-play announcer. He's just got that great broadcasting voice. He's an actor by trade, so he can evoke emotion really well. And then, you know, I was just a little bit of a messer and usually had what I think a funny comment to say. Other people might call them a different word for them, but I thought they were downright hilarious. And we would always kind of, after the shows, talk about them and say, "Mike, you know, wouldn't it be great if they had a commentary team, and two, if they'd give us a chance to do it?" So rather than sitting around and waiting to one day be asked, we basically set up a system where we would record a couple of matches after each show and send them to the powers that be at OTT as a demo. So we auditioned ourselves, and luckily enough, we were given the chance to start being their VOD team. And slowly but surely then kind of transitioned into a few kind of storylines just to help things out, you know, if people kind of needed mouthpieces here or there, which is always a great buzz. So I guess I've been in the industry almost 5 years now.
Ah, so you sort of auditioned for a spot that wasn't even there. You sort of created your own spot, really.
Yeah, mate. And this is, you know, not to get into, you know, trainee advice too early, but this is what I say to everybody. Because one of the things I love to do now with promotions that I work with is just to have, you know, not in a formal sense, but just to have chat with some of the younger people and kind of help them to develop their characters and tell their stories a little better. And something that I always say is that, you know, if you approach a promotion or if you approach, and this probably applies to any sort of industry you're going to work in, there's not a hope in hell that everything possible is already being done. Everything has a, you know, a beginning, every sort of industry, and slowly but surely it builds up, and any industry that stops building up eventually dies away. So there's always going to be opportunities there. And if you ever have an idea, pitch it and it will get shot down, and then rework it and pitch it again and it will get shot down again. And keep doing this until eventually, you know, if you believe in the idea, you get it away and you'll be able to see it flourish and blossom. And, you know, it could have been a case where we were told a few times, "No, you're not exactly what we're looking for." But, you know, we kind of felt we were a good fit. And eventually we got the chance, and I won't say the fans took to us straight away. I think a lot of wrestling fans sometimes enjoy the product as it is, and when something new comes in, they maybe take a while to adjust to it. But after maybe 6 months or so, myself and Angus were pretty well liked on the VOD, and formed a pretty damn good partnership that it was oh so sad to break up when I moved over here in January.
Yeah, and was it your work that brought you over to Australia?
Yeah, mate. So when I'm not living the dream in the pro wrestling world, I'm living a slightly different dream, or at least was for a long time. I do a lot of work in the alcohol industry. So for many years, I was the global Guinness brand ambassador, which is essentially the Irish beer equivalent of Duff Man from The Simpsons.
I was going to say, talk about your stereotyping for an Irishman.
Well, I've got the light fair hair. I was, you know, working for Guinness. I was, for a very long time, the most Irish man you could possibly meet. So I'm still working for the same company, but not quite as much of a party role anymore. Although I do a bit of work with Guinness here and there. But yeah, they had a role for me over here in Australia, and I kind of felt like it was time for a new challenge and a change of pace. And I'll be honest, and people say, oh yeah, well, you're on a podcast to talk about wrestling, so of course you're going to say this. But honestly, leaving OTT was the hardest thing about leaving Ireland, because we had it similar to what they have with PWA over here. It was a family. It was a very welcoming atmosphere. And when you went to shows, it wasn't just to perform, but it was that social engagement as well. So it was a big loss for just to leave OTT and to leave all my friends there. And hopefully one day I'll get back and do another show again.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean, albeit on a smaller scale, because I came up in Wright City Wrestling in Adelaide. And when I had to move from Adelaide to Brisbane, I didn't miss Adelaide so much. I didn't even really miss my family. Sounds terrible. I didn't really even miss my family that much, because, you know, you're always going to talk to your family. I missed that group of people, that my family at Wright City Wrestling, the guys that I would see, because I'd be at the training facility and all that, two or three times a week. So they were the closest thing to an actual real family as you could get. And
yeah, man,
I understand completely what you mean. It does take some adjusting when you do move over. Well, for me, I just moved to the state. For you to move a whole country is, I can't imagine how much harder that is. Because for me, it's a 2.5 hour flight, and I'm back down with my friends.
Of course.
It's
all good, but it's, and I'm happy to be here. Don't get me wrong, but yeah, to your point, to move to the other side of the world and with about an 11 hour time difference, give or take, can be tough, because, you know, I'm getting up, having my morning coffee, and I'm like, oh shit, they're running the show tonight. God, I wonder how that's going, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah.
Although you can be eating breakfast and watching the show. So, I mean, it's not that bad.
That is true. Yeah. We actually only did one live OTT.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We only did one live on Flow Slam. Mm-hmm. We had a show with, the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega. It was star studded. We got Dalton Castle over, and I think that was the one we did on Flow Slam. Yeah. So we did one huge show on Flow Slam in the National Stadium in Dublin, which is a 2,200 seater stadium, which we had sold out, packed to the rafters. And it was one of those where OTT was running once a month in a venue called the Tivoli, which has very sadly and very controversially been knocked down very recently. So a bit of a venue crisis in Ireland at the moment, unfortunately. But a lot of people were like, yeah, OTT is cool. And yeah, they've got some good Irish wrestlers, and every now and again, they'll bring over, you know, a blast from the past and get some butts in seats. But that's all it's ever going to be. A lot of people were saying that. They were like, that's all it's ever going to be. It's, you know, it's just cheap beers and you sit around and you watch wrestling. It's nostalgia. But it grew to a stage where we were able to bring in the top names in independent wrestling. And it grew to a stage where we had the infrastructure in place to be able to put out a world-class live broadcast and fill, you know, probably the biggest stadium in Ireland that we could realistically fill. We're probably a little bit off filling the 80,000 seater Croke Park Stadium. Never say never.
No, give it time.
Maybe for my grand return one day. But yeah, that was, you know, so that was a great achievement for everybody. And I think that was one of the big ones that kind of put OTT on the map in European wrestling. And what I've been not surprised, but I suppose pleasantly surprised to see is that there are a lot of fans that I've met at PWA and MCW who have watched a lot of the OTT stuff, which is the biggest compliment possible, because literally you could not be further away geographically from that promotion.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing now with the internet being the way it is, the wrestling world has sort of shrunk, where it used to take ages for a guy from here to get his name out there. Nowadays, people can watch like PWA on OVO or MCW online, and they can see these guys, and that helps guys like Robbie Eagles, Adam Brooks, all of those guys.
You're talking about Robbie Brooks, like, from the UK there years ago.
Yeah.
Well, his daughter's doing very well right now.
Well, even OTT have had, you've got a few guys now that are signed with NXT UK. Isn't there Jordan Devlin?
Yeah, Jordan. Jordan's a great friend of mine, and he deserves every bit of success and every bit of praise he gets, man. He's Jordan is the, not only kind of in the way he was built in OTT from a character standpoint, but just from the way he developed himself as, well, from since I've known him as an athlete, as a performer, and as a person, it's the archetypal success story, man, because he was the guy who was always, if you follow the OTT timeline, he was always in the first match, usually against an import, because he'd always kind of give them a good match. He was going to be very safe to work with. He was going to be very entertaining for them, and he could kind of play off them no matter what they were bringing on that night.
Mm-hmm.
And he then transitioned himself. He came up with this gimmick called the Import Killer, where he went on this run of just beating every import that came over. And I'm not talking, you know, young guys trying to make a name in Ireland. I'm talking some of the top names. I'm talking like Matt Riddle. I'm talking like we had over Shane Strickland. We had, I'm trying to think who else was on that list. Big Damo, Killian Dane from WWE. There was a whole list. Chris Hero. Like, he was putting away some of the biggest names in indie wrestling. And there are more, but I don't want to say somebody and then I was like, oh, actually, he wasn't on that list. But, like, it was seriously impressive list. And then that all culminated in him winning the OTT title, the No Limits Heavyweight title, as we called it at the time. But, yeah, so Jordan's doing so well. And then, like, you know, not signed to anyone particular, but on the independent scene, like the Session Mott Martina, another great friend of mine who I actually went to see at PWA, and that's how I kind of got into the industry over here a little bit, just from meeting people there. But she's just having, I don't know if anybody on the indie scene is having more of a rise of momentum than her. And again, she works so hard for it. She deserves it. And then what's great to see is that a lot of the people that I saw, I just could see them reaching a certain, you know, a pinnacle of potential when I was leaving 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. I'm now seeing them start to get a lot more bookings in the UK and the rest of Europe. And they're all young guys, like, you know, a guy called Scotty Davis, who recently had a match in the National Stadium in Dublin and beat Jushin Thunder Liger. I mean, this guy's 18-year-old kid from Dublin, and he's getting a win like that, a scalp like that, you know. So remember that name if you're listening, if you haven't checked out OTT. You probably know Jordan Devlin, you know the Session Mott Martina, but remember that name, Scotty Davis, because if Don has a prediction to make, and I do love a bet from time to time, but I think he's going to be the next big breakout star.
Yeah, and the thing with Session Mott is that there's not a hell of a lot of women's wrestlers that are doing that almost comedy shtick. Then there's just not. They, all of them are trying to be that uber serious stardom, that sort of thing, and to have that different type that can also wrestle is a great, like, tool to have in your chest, I guess.
Well, yeah, I mean, yes, I do agree, but the only thing I might raise issue with is when you say comedy shtick, you act like that's not just
that's just her.
Because that 100% is her. That is just the person that she is. You know, you often hear the phrase in the industry of living the gimmick, and my God, does she ever. she's a lot of fun on the session, because we used to, back in OTT, you know, I wouldn't even call it a character, because I am a man who likes to drink a beer. I am currently talking to you beer in hand, but our characters kind of had that little bit in common, and there was a little bit of that will they won't they sort of thing. But like that's all based in the fact that when we would go out after shows, we would always be the last two standing, you know? So I think you've got to be true to your own personality there.
And did you even have plans in getting involved in the Australian industry, or was it just that you went to PWA to catch up with her and then sort of met? Because when we had Bonza on the show a couple of weeks ago, he mentioned how, like, he didn't know who you were until he was introduced. He's like, oh, you're that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'll be honest, man. Like, I had no immediate plans to get involved in the Australian wrestling scene. I was trying to adjust to so much, and I was, you know, new place, trying to settle in, trying to get my day job sorted and kind of build a social circle. And it wasn't that I was avoiding wrestling, but I was just kind of like, well, you know, it's not my scene. I'm not involved over here. You know, that's kind of how I felt. But not to get too Disney about it, but as soon as I went in, and that was the first show in Australia that I'd seen, it was the Max Watts PWA show a few months back. And I was there to see Martina, but also a good friend of mine, Millie McKenzie. We were both working that night. And as soon as I walked in, I was just like, oh man, the vibe in here is great. It reminded me a lot of that place I told you about in Dublin, the Tivoli Theatre.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, it's a really good vibe. And I was kind of, because the two of those were working, so they were backstage. So I was sitting on my own and I was kind of people watching. And I think in my head, I was kind of going like, okay, so that fan from back home, you know, maybe that guy's a bit like that guy from back home. I was kind of characterizing them a little bit, maybe that makes sense. I don't know, but that's just kind of what was going on in my head. And I was kind of going, right, and I was seeing people kind of, you know, who probably aren't seeing each other for a beer outside of going to these wrestling shows, kind of connect and everything. And I was like, yeah, man, this is a really good vibe. And again, before the bell even rang, I was like, yeah, man, I miss this vibe, you know. I just missed the whole wrestling culture. And then the show went on anyway, and it was a great show. And I was I'll be the first to admit, I didn't know a lot about the Australian wrestling scene more than the people who have kind of left the country to kind of make a bit of a name for themselves. And, like, you know, seeing people like you know, Caveman Ugg and Bonza and Moretti and Jessica Troy, and I was like, damn, there is a really good level of talent here. And it was card wide, and I could kind of see that the roster had been, like, everybody was allowed to do their thing, but there was every slot being filled, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't seem like a roster where everybody was trying to be the big guy or everybody was trying to do the flippy shit. It just seemed like a really well constructed, and I was like, this is cool, this is interesting. Again, left the arena with no plans of, well, I'm going to send a couple emails tomorrow, call in a few, like, that was not going through my mind. And it was literally, as I don't know how much detail Bonza went into, but standing outside the stadium, Session Mock goes, do you want to go for a beer? And I was like, well, I mean, yeah, Don Marnell, yeah, nice to meet you. Absolutely.
Not here for a haircut.
I had spent the whole day driving them around, so I hadn't had a beer yet. So I was like, absolutely, I want to go for a beer. You know, I've left the car home. It's this, yeah, let's do it. So, she says, well, yeah, maybe I can get you a lift with Bonza. So again, yeah, just like Bonza told you, she was like, yeah, well, can my friend come? And he was nice about it, but I could tell he was kind of like, yeah, like, well, who the fuck? Yeah, absolutely, yeah, whoever he is, but like, who the fuck is this guy? And anyway, so myself and Session Mod and Millie are in the back, and in the front it's Bonza and then Michael Craven from New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah.
And Bonza says something like, I think he said something like, oh man, you've got a great voice. Did you ever consider doing commentary? And I was like, well, yeah, I was the OTT commentator for like 5 years. And he nearly stopped the car. He was like, what? Why didn't anybody tell me you were here? I was like, well, you know, you didn't ask. So, yeah, we just kind of had a chat and yeah, we decided maybe there'd be some opportunities to work together. Like, I mean, PWA already have a commentary team, and I'm not the type to come in here and rattle cages or rock boats. Like, if that's the way they're going, brilliant, awesome. But I am more than happy to be on hand to, you know, give them a hand at those green label shows, or even just to have a chat with talent if they ever want to just pick my brain on anything. And I've made that very clear to the roster that they have. So hopefully I can be a help, and if I can, then that's great. But it was that car ride as well then that also got me the opportunity there with New Japan Pro Wrestling in Melbourne too, just from kind of, you know, getting a chance to chat to Michael Craven from New Japan, and he, luckily he had seen some of my stuff before as well. And yeah, man, it was a kind of, talk about being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah well, like when I talked to Michael Craven a while ago, it seems like he pretty much watches everything that's going on, like, in indie wrestling wise, so it wouldn't surprise me at all that he knew who you were as soon as you heard your name.
I mean, there you go. Like, I think I did myself a disservice maybe, because in OTT you never saw me without shades, snapback backwards, and I never wore sleeves. I was allergic to sleeves. So I think if I don't wear that in day-to-day, you know, nobody's ever going to recognize me. So I don't know, maybe I just need to start dressing like that, full stop.
just live the gimmick. Live the gimmick, man. Yeah, you're just saying.
Turn it up to business meetings and snapbacks and tank tops with a big bag of cans. You know? Not to say that I haven't before.
All right, you need to explain this to me, because I'm not a big Guinness guy. What am I missing with Guinness? Because it's like a meal in a can anytime I try and drink it. What do I have to change about me?
So that can... All right, there's two things here. I'm going to talk to you because I don't want people to think, oh yeah, he works for Guinness, this is going to be a sales pitch. I'm going to talk to you as a beer fan.
Yes.
I'm just going to just talk naturally, man. I'm not going to hit you with too many stats, all right?
Yes.
Second of all, I literally reached for a can and said, after he's finished this next sentence, I'm going to crack this can. And you just happened to be talking about beer. So this is 100% reality. I'll put it up to the mic. Maybe you can hear it.
Ooh,
go. And I'm ready. Hang on. Let me take a sip. So with Guinness, man. Okay, so Guinness is my favorite draft beer. Just as a beer fan, but it wasn't always. When I was in college, I drank first cider and then lager. And even the first few times I had Guinness, I didn't really go for it. But I figured out that the reason I didn't like it was because when I picked up a pint, I was so scared that I wouldn't like what it tasted like that I was just having tiny little sips from the foam on the top. Nah. And it's like the metaphor of getting into a cold swimming pool. You know, if you go in one toe at a time, you're going to tell yourself, this is really cold. I'm never going to get it. No, it's way too cold. I won't enjoy myself in there. And I've seen that happen so many times where people just sip the foam. So basically on the top of Guinness, you got nitrogen gas, which locks in all the flavor, but it also keeps the beer smooth. And if you just sip on nitrogen gas, well, it's going to taste like nitrogen gas.
Well, yeah. So, makes sense.
It's kind of my job in a lot of ways when I do customer events and stuff to kind of explain that to people. But yeah, you'd be surprised. Again, this is not a sales pitch, but this is just a stone cold fact about Guinness, is that people always talk about it being a meal.
Yeah.
But that's all visual. It's all visual, because actually Guinness has got about on average about 40 fewer calories than golden beers, than lagers or than golden ales or anything like that. So it's actually going to fill you up less than what people would call like lighter beers, because it doesn't have that many unfermented sugars essentially. But look, man, what I always say is, if you're a coffee drinker, the beer tastes exactly like coffee or dark chocolate. So yeah, just try and get it, you know, give it a go. If you don't like it, that's, you know, cool too. Everybody likes different things. They always say, if everybody liked the exact same beer, there'd only be one kind of beer. So
that's right. It's the same with wrestling. You've got to have all different types of characters to make up a show.
Hey, there's that. See? I love that professionalism of presenting a podcast.
Did you like that?
Oh, I'm going to tie these two things here together.
Did you like that?
And that was off the cuff too, I can tell.
There was a 4-hour one beforehand, mate. I was ready to go. I was ready to tie that back in. Because you've been here for a little while now, you've probably caught a few, there's the unprofessionalism right there. You've probably caught a few Australian shows. How is it comparing now to, say, the boom that's happened in Ireland and the UK? How is the Australian scene, like, comparing to that at the moment?
That's a good question. I mean, I think the one thing I've noticed about the Australian scene is that the people I've become friendly with who work on the scene seem to be working shows two or three times a week. Like, they might do one in Sydney, maybe they'll go out to MCW, they'll be doing one with Nui Pro, and there are, you know, lots of other promotions that I've seen pop up on Instagram and Twitter and stuff like that. So there seems to be a lot of shows for people to do. And I'm just the biggest advocate of, if you want to get better at something, you have to do it more. So I would say that is that there's probably more opportunity. You might think that because the Australian wrestling scene is on the other side of the world, that there's not as much opportunity there. But what I will say to the talent working here is that you have a great kind of breeding ground for talent here, because people are getting to work again and again and again and again and with the same people. So you're both helping each other to improve. Like in Ireland, yes, we do have quite a few promotions, but I wouldn't say that there's, in the country of Ireland, I don't think there's opportunities for everybody to be working two or three times a week. Once a week, yep, sure. But if you want to work more than that, you're probably going to have to go over to the UK and things like that. So the Aussie wrestling scene does seem to have, like I said, just a number of good promotions that are running simultaneously. I don't know the inner workings of how they all get on with each other, but I don't think anyway that people are kind of banned from working from other promotions or anything like that. I don't know. I could stand to be corrected on that one. As regards the, I do see a lot of creativity with characters. I've been quite impressed about, because when I work a show, I always encourage people to sum their character up for me. And when I say sum it up for me, and just to clarify, I'm talking about, you know, the wrestlers who are going to be performing. Obviously, with me on commentary, what I want is a summarization that I can put into a sentence from the minute that you know that your music hits before the bell starts. I always say that's my time to cut a promo for you on behalf of you. And what I don't need is oh yeah, well, I'm kind of a guy who's like Conor McGregor, but also like I'm a bit like Jean-Claude Van Damme, and I do that, blah, blah, blah. Everybody I spoke to was like, well, this is me, this is what I do, this is what annoys what I portray in the ring. They had a good sense of what motivated their character. Some more than others, of course, but that all comes with experience. So I would say that that's something that struck me, is that everybody kind of seemed to have that. It seemed like they'd had that thought process or that conversation before, where they had kind of thought about what they're doing in the ring, more so than these are the clothes I wear and this is the move, or this is the move set that I use, you know? So yeah, from what I've seen, and don't get me wrong, that's not to say that I haven't seen that in other places, but that's just a compliment that I am given to the Australian scene. I would say the same of those that I've worked with in OTT. But what I will say with OTT is that that's a company that is known for giving opportunities to incredibly youthful performers. Like I mentioned Scotty Davis earlier on, who made his debut at the age of 16. And I don't mean in a gym show at the age of 16. I mean, he was in the National Stadium in front of 2,000 people at the age of 16, and he was ready for it, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, it does seem like, just getting back to my point, it does seem that there is a stage where the wrestlers here have been nurtured. And I think you're very lucky, in the same way that we're lucky in Ireland, that we've got the likes of Joe Cabray, who was on WWE's books as Luther Ward. We've got the likes of Sean Maxer Guinness, who's done it with 0-1 over in Japan. We've got Paddy Morrow, who a lot of people say is probably the best wrestler that Ireland has ever produced. We've got Paul Tracy. We've got all these people who, alongside Finn Balor and Seamus O'Shaughnessy, built the Irish industry, and they're there to help nurture, you know, the next generation. And then here you have got people like Madison Eagles, and you've got people like Bonza and Robbie Eagles, who, you know, comes back. You've got that level of expertise here as well. So it's something that I just hope nobody ever takes for granted. Because it's literally, you can't pay a price for that. You can't buy experience. That's something that a scene is either lucky to have or it isn't. There are some schools that I've heard of where somebody's like, yeah, well, this is our trainer. They're 20 years old, but don't worry, they're really good. They might be brilliant in the ring. They might be able to do the best shooting star press you've ever seen, and maybe they can cut a great promo. But there's a lot more to what goes into a performance than just, you know, okay, I can talk in the mic and I can do good moves. What do you do on your way to the ring? What do you do when your opponent is getting their breath back? What do you do when the referee does a really close two count? There's so much more that you are doing when you're out there than just your moves and what you say on the mic. And I think it's only people who have that level of experience on a global scale that can nurture that within their talent. So I rambled a little bit there, which I'm not supposed to do. I'm supposed to be a very concise commentator. But what I'm basically saying is that how I look at the Australian wrestling scene is that there's a lot of comparable elements to what I see in Ireland, where there is a wealth of experience that is nurturing the next generation, and that the next generation is benefiting from that in a great way.
Yeah, one of the things, especially with Bonzer, I love is that most matches he has, he always tells a story in, and for me, that's like a lot of guys like the Lucha style, a lot of guys like the extreme style. I'm very old school NWA, Harley Race, Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes storytelling. And that for me is what I think Bonzer does really well. And maybe that's what he's bringing to the PWA training facility. I have no idea. But that's what I think I like most about watching his work.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've got all the time in the world for Bonzer as a person and as a performer. And I think you're right. He tells an incredible story. And I do enjoy listening to him talk about wrestling because he has a very unique outlook on it, and I mean that again in a positive way. But we spoke about it earlier. You do need that sort of you need mix in wrestling. You can't have seven matches in a card that are all technical masterpieces where a story is told. I mean, you can, but you know, the casual fan might not exactly understand that. I spent a lot of my 20s, my early 20s, I couldn't even find anybody to watch wrestling with in Ireland. It was very much, there were definitely people that were watching it because it was still on TV and stuff, but it wasn't a thing that you went to work and admitted to watching, that sort of thing. It still had that culture of, oh, you don't still watch wrestling, do you? That was the culture in Ireland for a long time. So I would end up watching wrestling with people who weren't wrestling fans per se, but I'd be like, oh, you know, come on, we'll have a few beers and we'll watch SummerSlam or whatever it is, and they'd be cool with that. And what I always liked to see, I think I learned a lot from those experiences because I would try and watch it through their eyes, and I'd ask them questions. I'd be like, well, what did you think of that? And what did you think of him? And after someone cut a promo, I'd be like, well, what's his character like? You know, I wasn't exactly grilling them and taking notes. It was a bit more casual than that. But I found it was a really interesting exercise to see, you know, if let's not take someone as obvious as The Undertaker, but say, for instance, you know, Chris Jericho comes out and cuts a heel promo. You know, I know Chris Jericho, and I probably watched the last, whatever, 18 months of shows that were leading up to that show. But how about someone that's laying fresh eyes on him, you know? Would you know from that promo that he's a bad guy? Or would you go, actually, no, he was really funny. I like that guy. Like, is his character translating to the casual fan? So that's something that I always found really interesting, was that just that outward perspective of thinking about, well, what would somebody who's never seen me before think? Am I letting people know who I am by doing the subtle things that I do? And that's not to say that you're spoon feeding, because then the fans who are following your stuff are going to get bored. But that's always something that I try and encourage. Like, think of people watching this show for the first time, their first time watching OTT, their first time watching PWA. Have you gotten yourself across before the match starts? Because once it starts, or rather once it's 4 or 5 minutes in, you haven't got them invested enough in you to kind of care about what you're doing. So you need to set your stall out early. And that's everything. Like, even they say in the sales world, it's like, you know, if you've got 4 months to launch a product, if you sell it in the first week, they're going to sell it for the rest of the 4 months. If you sell it in the last week, yeah, you've still sold it in, but you haven't got the benefit of the sales because it's only been on sale for a week. So I always think about that in the wrestling sense of, if you just get the crowd, whether you're trying to be a nice guy, whether you're trying to be an asshole, or you're trying to be comedy, whether you're trying to show them that you're serious, if you can get that done in the very first few moments of the match, or even better, before the bell even rings, you have got an infinite, infinite advantage over somebody that's just trying to get it in near the end.
Yeah, I do the same sort of thing with my wife, because my wife is not a...
A lot of information about this.
She is not a wrestling fan at all. Like, she's if anything, she's wrestling tolerant.
Okay, got
it. She tolerates it because she knows when she met me, I was already into this, and I was like, well, this will be around a lot longer than you are. So it's up to you whether you want to accept it or not. So that was sort of the deal when we got together. But nowadays she'll sit down and actually watch some stuff. And if I've produced, if I filmed a promo, or if I've produced a trailer for a show or something like that, I'll always show her, because if anything, she's the audience I'm trying to target. Because a lot of the times the hardcores are going to come regardless, because they love wrestling. If I can draw someone in who's just goes, I don't really watch it, but that looked interesting, I wouldn't mind going to see that. Then I know that I'm doing something that's got a broader range of appeal.
I couldn't agree more, mate. We had Session Mott's a great example of that. I used to work in the Guinness Storehouse, which is like the Guinness tourist attraction, and I kind of ran the premium experiences there for a long time. But I kind of worked on a staff of probably, there was 180 people there. A lot of people kind of in their 20s and stuff. And the conversations would always be having on your break, where people were like, oh, I heard you're like you work in wrestling or something like that. And people would have seen videos on Facebook, or if I shared them on Facebook. And I'd get approached and be like, is there like a character in your wrestling called the Session Mott? Like, parties all the time. And I'd be like, yeah, that's kind of... And they'd be like, oh, man, I don't watch wrestling, but that sounds hilarious. Or like we had... Session Mott's original route in was that she was the tag team partner of a tag team called the Lads from the Flats. I don't know if that translates to Australian culture, but basically these guys were kind of like two boys from the inner city who just kind of drank and fought all day.
Sort of like Bogans.
From what I understand about the word Bogan, that would be a good comparison. So... could you imagine, like, somebody goes, oh, yeah, wrestling, yeah, no, The Undertaker, all that sort of thing. But then a local show had, like, this really, just really true-to-type Bogan character. And then they're going, actually, do you know what? I wouldn't mind going and seeing him beat somebody up, or, you know, seeing him get beat or whatever like that. And that's how you draw in that casual audience. So you can't, like we said earlier, you can't have everybody like that. But it's those few little things that are just going to pique the casual's interest. And that's something that we saw with OTT, and I'm sure it's happening with PWA. I'm just not across that promotion as much yet. But so many people that I spoke to that I got to know from OTT were kind of like, I had stopped watching wrestling altogether. I just, you know, that part of my life had ended or whatever. You know, they got too busy, or they didn't want to. Because in Ireland, we got to stay up. If you wanted to watch Monday Night Raw, you'd stay up until 1 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
You know, whatever day that was, Tuesday morning, and then like you'd be getting up at like 6 a.m. to watch Wrestle Kingdom and stuff like that. So there was a lot of, you know, nothing really suited us apart from local shows time wise. Yes. You know, as kids, we were living for those two UK WWF pay-per-views a year, Insurrection and Rebellion. We were like, oh, thank God, we're watching wrestling, we're all still awake
at a regular time.
Oh, it was just the stuff of dreams, pal. But it was, what were we saying? Yeah, it was that sort of thing where people were going, yeah, I'd stopped watching wrestling. Like, oh, you know, it was done. And then I went to this one OTT show and I was like, oh, let's, who's this Jordan Devlin guy? He's cool. Oh, he's on NXT? Oh, I might watch NXT. All right, cool. What's this New Japan stuff? And they fully got back into it just from going to a few little OTT shows, you know?
Mm.
So I think we have a lot of power working in independent wrestling, but with great power comes great responsibility, where there are those sort of lapsed fans that are now falling back in love because they've heard that there's this kind of funny girl or funny guy who does this thing at one show, and they're going, yeah, I wouldn't mind checking that out.
Yeah, it's also sort of like a resurgence now with everything, especially with the people like Progress coming down here and New Japan coming down here and just getting more people out there getting out to more of a media market that other people will see it that maybe didn't even think wrestling was still going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Couldn't agree more, man. It's a golden era. And what my favorite thing about it is that so many people who have dedicated so much of their lives to it are now seeing those rewards, man. And that makes me really happy.
I agree completely with that. Look, mate, we've probably hit the time that we could wrap it up. I could keep talking to you for hours because it's been a, a great conversation with you, and I will definitely have to do this again because I want to see 6 months or something like that down the line, your progression in the Australian industry and how you're relating to it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally get you, man. I'm 100%, but I guess the one point that I'll finish on is I am all for progression in the pro wrestling industry, and obviously everybody wants to see themselves kind of you know, get the opportunities that they work for. But the thing that I most enjoy about the pro wrestling industry is seeing people that I help progress, if that makes sense. Yep. Like the likes of people who I saw on day one, they were like, oh, well, I don't really know. I don't really have a character and I've never really cut a promo before. And if I can kind of help them to find their voice and then see them move up, that to me is just, that is why I like working in wrestling, man. Obviously I want to commentate forever and I love getting to commentate for these, the big shows, but it's the guys who the guys and girls who give me a message and say, oh man, thanks for saying X, Y, and Z on commentary, because that's exactly what I needed to get this opportunity. That's why I'm in this business, man. So if 6 months down the line, you know, hopefully I'll have worked a few more shows over here in Australia, and if I've hopefully helped a few more people to find their voice or to get over that little bit more, then yeah, Jesus, I'll be a happy man.
Beautiful. If people want to follow you on the socials, how can they do that, mate?
I am on Twitter at Don Marnell. I am on Instagram at Don Marnell. And if we've ever had a beer before, you can find me on Facebook too. if we've had a beer, you know, but then again, I've had a beer with a lot of people. But yeah, I tweet a lot about wrestling. I tweet a lot about obscure 90s video games and anything else that pops into the mind of Don Marnell.
Mm. And if I'm ever in Sydney for a PWA show, definitely going to have a Guinness with you. You can teach me how to drink one properly.
Brother, that is a date right there. Absolutely.
100%. All right. Thank you very much for joining me, mate.
Bro, had a great time. Thanks for having me.
Some people say having an opinion is like having a penis. It's really great for you, but you shouldn't share it around. That's exactly what we don't do. We share it all about the internet. And in fact, we advertise it on other people's podcasts so that they can go and enjoy it as well. Am I talking about penises or am I talking about opinions on film? To find out, you'll have to go to our website, secondtakepodcast.com, or find Second Take Podcast on your podcatcher of choice.
Yes, big thanks go out once again to my guest, Don Marnell. Like I said, great chat. Really, really lovely lad. Cannot wait to talk to him again. I want to talk to him a couple of months down the line and see how he's really settling into the Australian professional wrestling landscape and just see how he's taking it on. So it's going to be interesting to see the journey this guy's going to go on over the next couple of months however long he's in Australian professional wrestling. He's a great guy. Really easy to talk to and really just wants to help the industry grow down here, which is something that we are all for here at Wrestle Radio Australia. If you haven't already, guys, make sure you subscribe to WRA. It's free. You can do it on iTunes, Stitcher, or anywhere you get your podcast from. We're also on Spotify now, so go and check us out there too. If you do stop by iTunes, though, give us a rating and review while you're there. Give us a 5-star. Helps us get inside more ears, share the show, and spread the word about professional wrestling in this country. Also, make sure you like us on Facebook. Just search at Wrestle Radio Australia and on Twitter at Wrestle Radio AU or me personally at Beast Eastman. Remember, we do have our Wrestle Radio Australia merch on redbubble.com. Just go to redbubble.com, search out WRA or Wrestle Radio Australia. You'll see all the stuff there. You can get made in the t-shirts and coffee cups and God knows whatever you want to put it on. I reckon we put it on there, that Redbubble. All proceeds that come from the sale of that merch go to Beyond Blue and Gotcha for Life, two charities that we really do believe in the cause of here at Wrestle Radio Australia. Very much so. So go and check them out. Please do support us in supporting them. To send us home, we have Promoland, and this week it is the team of SMS and their promo upcoming for their matches. And I say matches because it's not a tag team, it's two matches. this weekend at Wrestle Rampage Revolution at the Lion Arts Factory. And that's it for this episode of Wrestle Rad Australia. We'll see you next week. I'm Todd Eastman. Be good to everyone.
Welcome. I am Richard South.
I'm Unsocial Jordan.
And we are SMS. Wrestle Rampage used to be at the forefront of Australian pro wrestling, with leaders like
Name Removed
and
Name Removed.
But now they have degraded themselves by turning their events into 18 plus. Events that are filled with debauchery, alcohol consumption, and swearing. This is something that SMS will not stand for.
Rat Daddy, much like the former Ricky South, I see a lot of potential in you, which is why I'm traveling all the way to Adelaide to rehabilitate you and turn you into the wrestler you could be. And that starts by removing the awful grill from your mouth and taking your Cruiserweight cup. And I'm willing to do this by any means necessary.
We must start with the very foundation of Wrestle Rampage. That is why I am seeking the very best Wrestle Rampage has to offer. The one person who has been there through its darkest days and its highest of highs. So once I can eradicate this person, we can start to rebuild Wrestle Rampage in the image that we here at SMS see.
And this is just the beginning. When we are finished with Wrestle Rampage, there will be no swearing.
There will be no drinking.
And absolutely no adult themes. So you can either fall with the old Wrestle Rampage or stand with SMS.